Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I didn't know you're neighbors with Dunkin' Donuts.
Practically.
You just like go to your next door neighbor and get in line.
Before the virus in the summer, I would always just walk up there because it's like a nice little 5 minute walk.
Ah. So you don't live like in it. You live close to restaurants and stuff, I take it.
Very close. Yeah. The street over from us is a very, very busy boulevard. Things up and down. But
So
yeah,
what?
the car two cars ahead of us, I think may have ordered everything off of the menu. It was just sitting there forever, and the lady just kept handing them things. I'm like, oh my God, this is extra.
That was probably me.
It took so long. Once that person pulled away, then I was done in like less than a minute later. But
What did you get?
oh, I just got a coffee. I got donuts for the kids, but I didn't have any.
How come?
I had donuts on Friday.
So?
Oh, that's enough.
You could have donuts on Sunday too.
I gotta be healthy.
I never realized that Allie's name was Alaska.
Yeah.
I always thought it was Allie. That's even
Yep.
Barb said that.
We
Does everybody call her Allie?
yeah, mostly.
Yeah.
We
Do you only call her Alaska when she did something bad? Like
kind
Alaska.
of. Or if I really want to get her attention for any reason, it's like she's not paying attention. Allie. Allie, Alaska. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I always said that I wanted to name kids after states, and Stacy was against it. And then when we had found out we're gonna have twins, I'm like, well, we can name one after a state. She's like, well, which one? Her concern was people would call her Lassie, like a dog. I'm like, nobody's gonna call her Lassie. Just make her nickname Allie. It'll be fine. So far, so
Yeah.
good.
What's your fascination with states?
I don't know. I just thought they sounded cool.
Why didn't you
raising
name
Arizona.
why didn't you name her New Mexico? That's a cool state.
That's not a very good name, though, is it?
Or New York?
No. The Colorado's a good one for a boy. A boy could have been Colorado. And call him Colin.
How come not? Oh, you started at the A's. I get it. I get
I didn't.
it.
Alaska's a good one. Colorado's a good one. Obviously, Nevada.
You
All
started
right,
with
that's
Alaska. You could have went Alabama.
Alabama, sure. Yeah. Virginia's already a name, so that's not very exciting.
Arkansas.
I don't know. What do you think? Oh, the other one for a boy would have been Kentucky. We could call him Ken.
Illinois.
What would we call him? Ill?
Chicago.
Now you're just naming random places.
Chicago, Illinois.
So, how have you been?
I've been all right.
Oh,
Florida.
you're Florida, yeah.
North Carolina.
Well, just Carolina.
You could have done North Carolina and South Carolina.
That's true.
So you would have had North and South. The middle names are Carolina. There you go.
Dakota could have been in the running, but my dad named one of his dogs Dakota, so then we couldn't use it.
Ah. I've heard Dakota, though.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's Dakota Fanning.
Yeah. Well, how have you been?
I have been pretty good.
You
Getting
buy any
by.
comics lately?
No, not really. I've been getting a lot of those, like we talked last time, the Kickstarters kind of stopped coming in, but I've still been backing more Kickstarters than normal.
Yeah.
Think because there's just nothing to do, like we're just at home all the time, so I find myself just going on there and looking around.
Are you reading Empire?
Yeah.
All of the tie-ins are just the proper.
So I'm reading the proper and any of the ones of like titles I actually collect. So like, I get Captain America, so I bought that one, that many, and the X-Men, I bought that many. But if it was just random ones, I didn't necessarily buy them.
I'm liking the ones that are like key to the story, like Celestial Messiah or Swordmaster or
And see, these are the ones that I didn't pick up because.
yeah, those are the ones I'm liking the most 'cause it like is more important to well, they're key characters in the story, so
Right.
it gives you like more motivations and where they're coming from, you know.
How far have you of the actual series, how far have you read so far?
I think I'm through four or
Okay, me too.
five,
Yeah, I'm
but
through four.
I just got my shipment yesterday. Man, it was a big box. I was like, holy
I
shit.
saw.
It was so heavy. There was a lot of hardcovers in there.
When is the Empire Squadron Supreme coming? I thought that should be. I mean, the last issue of Empire
I
already
think
came out.
they canceled Squadron Supreme.
Oh, did they? Because they're both
Yeah.
still on my order, so I'm going to have to ask them for
They
they
canceled Squadron Supreme, Ghost Rider, and I can't remember what the other one was. There was a handful of them. And I think they canceled that there was that one title that was tying into it, Strike Force or whatever that one is, and that
Yeah,
one
Strike Force. Yeah, and that was
yeah.
canceled. All right. Yeah, I'm
Oh,
looking
and
at.
Agents of Black Panther, which was a bummer because
Oh, right.
I that was good. That's one of my favorite comics because it's like sort of like Suicide Squad. It's like putting together a band of characters that are just so obscure they could get away with murder. I love when they do that. It's such a good comic. Too bad it went away.
Yeah, are you gonna watch that any of the stuff for that DC thing that's next Saturday, the 12th?
Maybe I might watch the Milestone, but I'm kind of disappointed the route they're going. They're going more digital and direct to trade kind of thing.
Yeah, me too. They're.
I understand it, like from a marketing perspective, because yeah, you got a lot of people excited, but a lot of people excited is the minority. They're the 2,000 people that are freaking online saying, "Oh, I can't wait for Milestone." And then it's like the orders come in and it's like we sold 5,000 copies.
Yeah, and I mean, I looked at and you shocked me. What was it, yesterday or the day before when you said that there's no more bundles on DCBS?
Yeah, there wasn't a DC bundle, but I
I'm like,
understand
oh my
it.
God. And there wasn't a bundle of one Valiant comic either, which was,
Yeah,
shocking.
but it makes sense. There
I know.
there's no Valiant to bundle.
No. But the
DC
DC
it
one?
D DC has decreased their output so much, so it's probably not as profitable as it used to be.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's like I went through because now I had to, instead of clicking bundle, I had to go through every single thing one at a time. I went through it yesterday just to go through and see, how, like, what my total cost would be. And yeah, there's just not a lot. There's not a lot of material. Now we'll see. I've
Like it
talked to
makes sense.
several.
Like I understand it. I was just disappointed. I wouldn't even mind if they like bundled it and just kept it 40% or whatever it is,
Yeah, just make it
just
easy.
for the ease of use, you know,
Yeah,
whatever.
I agree. I agree with that big time. But like I talked to Daryl a little bit about it too, and he said, there was already plans to stop a lot of these series because G5 was going to then launch. G5's not launching, but they still plan to wrap up all these series.
But
So
they are
we'll
going to
see.
launch the G5. They're
Well,
launching
not
a
really
John
though.
R Ridley's
But as a,
Batman.
but just as a mini series, like a
Yeah,
first series.
but that's all it was intended to be.
Well, I don't know, but from what he's saying, then maybe the 12th we'll get some announcements of new series that are going to come now in like instead of maybe all the G5 that they were going to do
Oh, I don't think so. I
some
think
stuff instead.
I think the new management wants to be lean.
That's what it seems like to me.
And I don't blame them. Like they why should I pub their new philosophy is why should I go after market that has 20,000 readers? It's not worth it.
Well,
So
it's sad because I kind of track how many ongoing obviously there's so many series that aren't considered ongoing anymore or actually, mini series, but I always track how many ongoing series I kind of buy a month just to see kind of where I am. And with the ongoing series dropping so much on the DC side, for the first time in forever, I'm actually buying more Marvel ongoings than DC, and I buy every single DC one. They just don't have a lot.
yeah, it's gotten pretty lean. Marvel catalog is pretty lean too, though, even with all those X-Men tie-ins. Like, there's not a
That's
lot in this. There's
where
not.
it pumps up for me is they still have what, like 8 X-Men titles or something like that.
Yeah.
Because I buy them all. I saw you watched High Score. I finished it on Friday. It was good.
Yeah, it was. I've liked a lot of video game documentaries. Like I watched King of Kong. That was really
I
good.
watched that one too. That was good.
I watched the one about them burying the ET
ET?
cartridges. Yeah,
Yes.
in Las Cruces. That was awesome. I like stuff that just like even though I'm not interested in the game, they just have. The people are so interesting that it makes the series cool, you know?
Yeah. And with the age that we kind of are, like that hits a nostalgia thing too, because
Yeah.
whether playing games as a kid or I mean did you I'm assuming you probably had an Atari back when you were a kid.
Yeah, I had the Fairchild.
Oh, that's right. You had so I mean it kind of hits all those nostalgia points too. It's like, yeah, you might not be super into video games now, but like I don't know, did you have that ET game? I
Had
got
it. We had it, but I like played it like twice, and I
because
hated
it
it.
was
So
horrible. It
I
was
hated it.
so
I
bad.
hated it, and I was so bored. Well, for one thing, I'm not the market for those games. Like I don't like Legends of Zelda. I don't like the role playing game at all. Like I found that part interesting in the documentary, but I don't want to play that. Like I
Yeah.
don't like to go find a key. I don't like to pretend I'm this person and then have search for a magic potion. I don't like that kind of stuff. I like the sports games. That's what I love. Like you put me in front of Madden and I won't stop. Like I'll play it for hours. I won't even want to go to work.
Me and you are the opposite with that. Those are my favorite games.
Especially if I find somebody that's as competitive as me, like that, then it gets even worse.
But yeah, it was a good show, though. It definitely was a good show.
Yeah, I liked it quite a bit.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in that one that like I had no idea, you know, stuff it was like new to me.
Yeah, it was cool. That last episode was pretty cool too. Like those guys, like basically they just create their own company and like promise the world, and and it turns out to be Doom. And that was pretty interesting. Like the first person
Yeah,
shooter
I've
that.
always heard about those guys, like just vaguely, but I've never been interested enough to learn about them. You know, do you know what I mean? But it was interesting to see how, especially the guy's partner, how he like broke the scrolling stuff, like in the code. Like, 'cause I'm a software guy and like that stuff interests me. Like he did that on his own. Like he had you have to. You have to be able to reverse engineer and think about how it works there and then do it, which isn't always easy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was cool. They had the Commodore in there. They had a couple things. It was really neat.
It was a good show.
Yeah, I liked it.
I actually so
I've
one of
been
the things
watching a
that
lot of Netflix. Like if you look at my watch time, I like don't need anything but like Amazon Prime and Netflix and baseball. That's all I've been watching.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just gonna say one of the things that I guess I could just cover right now is that it goes into the video game thing. I started playing this, and if anyone is a video game fan, they are already well aware, but I had never played it before. It's called BioShock.
Yeah.
You heard of this game?
I have heard of it.
Yeah, it's. I finally. We have a PlayStation 3, so, I had the game. It was still wrapped, just up in a on a shelf, and it even is. You can tell it's not like the version that like came out when it was launched, because it's like it says like PlayStation Greatest Hits on it and stuff. So it's in, like a repackaged thing, probably a few years after it originally came out. Originally came out in 2007, and it's cool. It's like you are in this plane crash, and you land like next to this bridge where there's like a ramp going up and leading you inside of like the base of the bridge, and you go in, and there's this whole like mythology about what's going on down there, and there's this whole city basically underwater where this guy basically wanted, like he didn't want the limitations of like morality and science with morality and stuff, and wanted to do whatever he wanted to do, and he created this whole city down under the ocean, and like started like just played with people's genes, and like actually you can splice like different things to you, so like you can like shoot fire out of your hands, or but then it also has all these like weapons and stuff, like a first person shooter, and but as you move along, you learn more and more about what's going on, and you constantly get different goals to continue further on. And I don't know how far I am, because again, I've never played this before, but I just started playing about a week or so ago, and oh my God, I that's the type of game that I could literally sit there and just play forever. And
You
like,
should call the 1-800 number and then find where you're stuck at.
exactly.
Say, I need to get past this.
And Paul Tesner, I remember him posting, maybe it was the beginning of the year, he had recently, anyhow, said that he was going to start playing BioShock. So I started to talk to him about it. And I said, "Was that you?" And he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Which one are you playing?" I'm like, "I didn't know there's more than one." He's like, there's three. I'm like, "Oh, I'm playing the first one." And so he actually found the parts two and three really, really cheap. But I'm gonna hold off, because with the kids and stuff, I'm gonna look to get a PlayStation, new PlayStation 5 when it comes out,
Yeah.
and that might only be backward compatible to four. They're not 100% yet, so be no point to me getting more PlayStation 3 games if I'm not going to be able to use them on the new system in December or something like that. So we're going to wait. But anyhow, that's just the game I've been playing the past few weeks, and I'm like literally can't play. Like, I don't know if you were like this when you would play any type of video game, but I could be exhausted and just want to go to sleep. But if I'm playing a video game, I like don't feel tired while I'm playing. And next thing I know, I look and it's like the middle of
Yeah, it's been a long time since I felt that.
the Yeah, that was me last night. I kept checking the clock, 'cause I'm like, I knew I could keep playing, but I'm like, I don't want to stay up all night. So I finally turned it off at midnight. So I've been playing for a good hour and a half or 2 hours.
Yeah, I lost interest in gaming at the Xbox. I don't know why. It has to do probably with the sports. Like I stopped playing with my friends, so it was like And this is before the online started
Features, yeah.
taking off, yeah.
Yeah.
So I just faded. As graphics got better, I got less interested.
Would you have any interest nowadays with like your group of friends throughout the country knowing that you could get on and play with any of them, like, you know, whatever, a
Nah,
ball,
because it would
whatever?
take me a while to get started, and I'd rather use my time doing other things.
I totally get
So
that.
I, yeah, just not as invested in it anymore.
Yeah.
But like, I wouldn't mind like playing MLB or NBA. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I liked. And NFL, I never really. I lost interest in the shooter game. I never was into the shooter game. I played Doom like over the modem for a while. So like I knew it, but I remember hating it because it was always dark and I'd get this like I don't know if it was like a dizziness or
Oh,
from
okay. Yeah, no.
hitting the
Yeah.
damn walls and trying to see where I'm going because it was I
Well,
don't know. I
some people get that because it, you know, when you're looking in, if you're really concentrating at the screen, and especially like, I don't know what size screen you're using, but if you're looking at the screen, you can start feel you get that sensation that you're moving, but your body actually can tell that it's not moving.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with cars, you know, that's where people get car sickness and stuff too. Like if they're reading in the car or whatever, it's the opposite. They're actually moving, but they're looking at something stationary, so
Yeah.
the things don't
Just
line up.
like I thought that part in the show was interesting because that guy wanted to insert that 3D chip
Yeah.
and got Nintendo to buy
Yeah.
into that
They
with
thought they
Star
were going to get
Fox,
sued,
but
and instead they got hired.
yeah, that's the way it usually works, right? You hire the smart people, but
Yeah. Like you did.
I thought that was pretty cool. But I like how the Japanese man for Nintendo kept telling him, you know, it's not as easy as you make it because you're still like just exactly like you said, you want to make this an experience, but you're still and you're not moving, but yet everything around you is moving on the screen.
Yeah.
And I think he was trying to get at is you could get sick. And you had to have like some balance, you
Some sort of
know,
parameters, yeah.
yeah, some parameters to keep it like a game and entertaining than getting people sick.
Well, and that guy was so, you know, instrumental in terms of just like design and playability and stuff like that. He's a genius when it comes to that stuff. Whereas the other guy, he was, you know, really, was like, look at what we can do. Okay, well, that's great that we can do that. We need to make some sort of story that's entertaining to play.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was
so.
never a Nintendo guy.
No, me neither.
I've always been. I went from the ColecoVision. I went from the Atari to the ColecoVision. Well, I went from the Fairchild. Let's go back. The Fairchild to the Atari to the ColecoVision. And then from there, I did get the first generation Nintendo, but it was mostly my brother's, and I only played it. Like the only game I remember on there that I always played was Duck Hunt, Punch Out, Mario Brothers, Contra. I think that was another one I played a lot, and Silver Surfer. But I didn't like play Nintendo a lot. And then
Oh, we had
Sega.
a friend across the street that had a Nintendo, and we'd go over there and play. But my brother had we had an Atari, and then around the time that I got like the Commodore, my brother got a Sega. So we had nothing in between the Atari and the Sega.
Yeah. The Sega was where I got interested, and I think it's because they were marketing to me. You know how that guy wrote on the board like five
Yeah.
different things? And
Yes.
he was like, let's make sports games. And I think that was the I think that's why I went down the Sega route. Do you know what I mean? That's what
Yeah,
I
and
wanted. That's
by the time Nintendo got big, we were a little bit older too, and you're a little bit older than I am, and that was always, I always thought of that as more of like the ki a kid system,
Yeah.
a younger kid system, whereas then Sega and stuff were, okay, these are for like teenagers. I'm like, I don't want a little kid's system. I want a teenager.
Yeah. So I went down. I followed Sega all the way to the Dreamcast. I had the Sega Sat, the Sega Genesis, the Sega. Because I remember that came with like Altered Beasts. That's the one I would play.
I remember that game, yeah.
And then I got the Sega Saturn. And I don't have any of these now except for the Sega Saturn. I think I still have the Sega Saturn. But I had a Sega Genesis, a Sega Saturn, and a Saga Dreamcast.
Wow, you went all out.
And yeah, I was pretty into S Sega. I was into it. Like I, that they had marketed to me. I mean, that's what they were my system. Like, and there's other games I liked on there. Like, I loved Crazy Taxi. I love that game. Like,
I
I
don't
had the
remember that
wheel and
one.
everything. It was like
What was that one?
you had a wheel and you had to drive people around town and like earn fares and stuff in the fastest way possible so you could drive like an idiot. And I don't know, I was awesome. But then the Xbox came, and that's when I sort of, I don't know, I sort of like just got disinterested. It could have been the controllability too, because I loved the Sega controls, and then the big old fat ass Xbox One controller came, and I didn't like it that much.
That thing was huge. I remember again, like I went more like the PC route, but my brother got the first. He got the PlayStation, so he had PlayStation, or maybe place, and then maybe PlayStation 2. I don't remember. And then at that point, we were older and
Yeah,
in
well,
our,
after the Commodore, I was like, my computer's for work. Like, it's for work and not play, and I never associated it with it. And then
Well,
I,
I was
a
playing
gaming
the thing
system
that
is
you don't
totally
like.
for gaming,
Role
so.
playing games, like the Dungeons and Dragons role playing adventures and stuff like that. I was playing all of those, and all on the actual PC. So yeah, I could, and a lot of other ones too. But there definitely is a difference between the types of games that they were making back then for the PC and for consoles. Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Although my first John Madden was for the PC. I got the first John Madden game, and it was for PC. I created all my own teams. Like, you could actually edit everything.
Yeah, I love that game.
That's
I
cool.
mean, it was interesting that they had it had that on there too. They had the sports games on there
Yeah.
as well.
Madden, yeah. I
But
mean, that thing was
I
huge.
tend to like the things that I don't know more. Like I was me and Bomer were even talking about Collector's Corner, and I'm like, they'll have all these Batman collections and these comic book collections, and I'm yeah, I've seen it before, blah blah blah. But when they have like the car collections or the shoe collections or the Schwinn collections, like things that I've never seen before and I don't know anything about, I tend to enjoy those episodes more.
Yeah.
I don't know why it is. It's because I know nothing about it. Like I
Yeah,
feel
you're
like I'm
learning.
like learning more. Like
Yeah.
my favorite Toys That Made Us is the Barbie one. Like, because I didn't know anything about Barbie. I didn't know those guys went to jail. Like, I didn't know they were doing what they were doing, like falsifying sales and gotten tax of trouble and stuff. Like, I had no idea. Like, that stuff's interesting to me.
It is
And
interesting.
the other stuff I enjoy a lot, like I enjoy quite a bit, but like I've already been down that road. Like it adds on to what I already know, if anything.
Yeah.
But like I've been listening to Robservations, man. That is like my favorite podcast. I fucking love it. Like there's so much hidden jewels in there. It's like watching a documentary, and then the timing of it all, I never correlated it, even though I was reading Wizard magazine and stuff. Like I just never correlated all the shit that was happening all at once. And to see that is amazing. Like
Like, what have you learned?
have you listened to it?
No. Mm-mm.
Well, there's a hell of a lot. Like I learned that him and J well Todd, I didn't know like Marvel approached McFarlane first. Like he's like, hey, you want to come and do Spider-Man again? And he just gave him the middle finger. Like he really doesn't want to do anything with Marvel.
Right.
And I think he's the most bitter towards Marvel. Like I guess the way he was treated and stuff like that. And then they went to Rob and Jim Lee. And the things that I didn't know is like, I didn't know like Jim Lee is like Rob. He was looking to leave at around the same time Rob was. It just, it you just didn't see it as much. Like it was more publicly known that Rob was doing this maximum press and pissing off the Image guys. And but in reality, Jim Lee was doing the same.
Well, Jim Lee's a very quiet person, and he seems to fly under the radar with a lot of that stuff.
Well, he's more professional too. Like
Yeah.
he's not gonna be as outspoken as Rob or anything.
No.
And I learned like from Rob's side of the story like how much that Image documentary's timing is off. Like he really was leaving before they even considered kicking him out. And there's proof of it because he has dated letters to Image, the guys that were like brokers for all the Image creators. They had a guy there that was like he would work in between the Image creators, and he had drafted up a letter with them saying, "Hey, I want to leave." And he wanted to leave mostly because McFarlane, because he was like the papa guy that was running everything. He was the godfather of the Image creators and the most outspoken. And Rob wanted to do what he wanted to do, and Todd wouldn't didn't like when he did certain things. And Rob was like, he felt he was giving more money to Image, and he was, even though he was producing like less young blood, he was producing more quantity. And what quantity meant is that every book that he created was $2,000 that he had to pay into the Image.
Why?
That's the way Image works. I mean, you make a book at Image, you pay whatever it is now, like $3,500. Like you pay for it. Image doesn't pay for it. You pay
Oh,
for your
no,
own
I knew
book.
that. I thought I misunderstood.
Yeah, you pay for it. So like if he does 10 books,
Right. No, I thought you were
that's 30.
I thought you were saying that he had to pay like profits to
No, he had to no, he had to pay a standard fee. But what
Yeah.
his point was is, Todd had 2 books, I had 10. So I had to pay this much. So he was bringing in more money
But
from his
he
perspective.
was making that much more money too. Nobody was forcing him to make 10
He
comic books.
was making more, but he was paying more into the company. So they had more incentive to keep him because he was paying salaries. Does that make sense? He was paying a lot more overhead than some of the other guys,
Right.
like Eric
Okay.
Larson. So the overhead was paying for the secretary, all the different
So he was funding all of
functions.
that
Yeah,
because of
yeah, yeah.
the books. Yeah.
And then he was getting yelled at all the time because he wasn't doing it like on a monthly schedule, and Todd was always, so he's like, "Hey, I'm gonna start my own shit." He started Maximum Press. And then the reason Maximum kind of faded was because of Heroes Reborn. They got like $3.45 million, him and to do fucking 12 books.
That's crazy.
And that's each. So then they went over there and they did it, and he was having a blast because he wanted to do Captain America. So like I like reread it and I'm like, man, it was such a great read, reading along with the podcast what was going on and what he was thinking and all the different things that were were happening at the time. And then Marvel went bankrupt. So this is what's happening. Heroes Reborn didn't just like I was always like from my perspective, I always looked at Rob like, God damn it, why is he never putting out Youngblood? What the fuck is he starting this title and never finishing it?
Oh yeah,
You know, like
absolutely.
why did he leave Heroes Reborn after issue 6 and Jim Lee take over? Well, now I fucking understand. Is Marvel went bankrupt, and because they went bankrupt and had new leadership, they could change the contract. So they basically said, we're not going to pay you this much per book anymore. We're not going to do this. This happened around issue 4. So the contract lasted through 6. So they cut it in half. And this thing was supposed to go on for years. Like they were supposed to go on many, many more years. And they did make their money, even though it's 3 point some million. That was for the whole thing. They sold enough copies to make that back, like just in the first, 3 issues each.
Yeah.
So they did what they were supposed to do. The sales went from like 25,000 to 250,000. That's a big jump.
Yeah.
They wanted it to go to the millions, like when they originally launched X-Men and X-Force. But that time is sailed, man. And so they went bankrupt, and they got these offers. Jim Lee got the offer, and Rob got the offer. Jim Lee took it. Rob said, "Fuck you guys, I'm not gonna get paid this much. You had said I was gonna make this much, and now I'm not." So they got that 3.5 million plus like a $300,000 signing bonus, just like a sports player gets a signing bonus. Him and
Yeah.
Jim Lee got a signing bonus. So I didn't like know all this shit, like the behind the scenes and how he was working with Jeff Loeb and how Jeff Loeb called him later on and told him, he goes, "I think that Jim Lee's gonna be my new boss," 'cause Jeff Loeb was working both sides. Jeff Loeb was working for Rob and he was working at Marvel Comics. And he's like, I think Jim Lee's gonna be my own boss." Well, Jim Lee, behind the scenes, was trying to take over Marvel during the bankruptcy. So
Really?
he get this, he was trying to move Marvel Comics from New York to California because the cost was a lot less. Does that sound familiar? Does that
It
sound
sounds a little
familiar?
familiar, Mike.
And
Did something
guess.
happen similar to that years later with a different company?
Yeah, well, not only that, but at the same time that they went bankrupt, Marvel was expanding. They bought Panini, the cards. They bought Toy Biz. They bought Heroes, the distributor. The guys that
Oh,
they
right,
decided to
yeah.
distribute their own
Heroes Club, yeah.
comics. So they expanded too fast, and they were hurting
And at the
bad
wrong time.
at the wrong time. Plus, they did this Heroes Reborn, and costed them, another $8 million or whatever. So it was just like a so Ron Perlman just expanded way too much. And all this led to that bankruptcy. And then Perlman flew out to California to talk to Jim Lee, and all that stuff was working. But it was Bill Jimenez and the other guys that actually stopped Perlman from letting Jim Lee take over Marvel Comics. So it's crazy how all this was happening. And now Jim Lee's in charge of DC. So it's like, God damn, we're reliving this thing. It's like incredible.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I was pissed at the time because when I was reading Heroes Reborn, I was liking it, and then the tone changed after issue 6 on all those issues, and I never knew why. Like, I never knew why Fantastic Four and Iron Man and Captain America and Avengers sort of changed, and now I understand why.
I don't even remember.
And then get this cost me to spend a $60 or more on the internet this weekend. So Rob wanted to finish his he had so Rob did his 6 issues of Cap, and had the next artist lined up for the next 6 issue, and it was Steven Platt. And I don't know if you love Steven Platt as much as I do, but Steven Platt was the bomb on Moon Knight back in the day.
Oh, yes, Jeff,
And
yes.
he was doing Prophet, and he had like this detailed hyper style that had lines everywhere, and it was like a McFarlane style, but it had a lot more lines. Like, there was a lot more art in each drawing he did. And I was like a huge Steven Platt fan. Well, he was going to take over Captain America. So he was already signed up, and then he had to let Steven Platt know, "Hey, they went bankrupt. I had to stop this deal." And then he went to Joe Simon and Kirby, that Roz Kirby, because Jack had already passed on. And he said, he wanted to finish his story, right? Well, he could finish it if he got the rights to Fighting American. So he's like, "Oh shit, I'm gonna get Fighting American." But he couldn't make the deal with Joe Simon. Like, Joe Simon wanted more money than Rob was willing to pay. And he's down on it because he was trying to go through legitimate channels to make this happen. Meanwhile, he says, "Screw that. I'm gonna do this Agent America." So this what led me to eBay to go buy this comic that doesn't exist. It's just an advertisement, but historically it's really significant because it led to a couple of lawsuits. But he got a cease and desist from Marvel because the likeness of Agent America was, it looked like Cap. Like, he was doing the same thing, and they said, "You have this Bucky, and it's still the female Bucky, and you're doing this." And so they stopped that, right? Well, meanwhile, oh no, Marvel did not stop that. I'm sorry, I have to rewind. Joe Simon stopped it because he said, "You were going to use my Fighting American for this story, and now you're going to create your own character that's just like Fighting American. And I want to give you a seat." And he didn't want to do stuff against Joe Simon's will. So, but he was going to go through it anyway. He was still going through the thoughts. So, I could create my own Echo. Marvel does it all the time with Squadron Supreme and, all this stuff that's Justice League. He could create his own thing. And then Marvel gave him the cease and desist letter. And then he had to stop. And then he went, and then Joe Simon says, "You know what? They worked out a deal." So he said, "I'm gonna come out with Fighting American." And then he put out images of Fighting American, and then Marvel put a cease and desist. And they sent him, like, they gave him 2 days' notice, and they said, "You have to show up to court to Marvel is gonna put a restraining order from you releasing Fighting American because it's too much like Cap." Except they screwed up big time. They said Rob Liefeld created Fighting American, and he didn't. He didn't create it. It was Joe Simon and Jack Kirby, and Marvel had published a hardcover called
Well, how did
Fighting
they get that
American.
wrong?
He says that he thinks they did it on purpose because they didn't think that they would fly out on short notice, like, to defend themselves. But Rob was working with some guy with deep pockets in the same building, and he called a lawyer in New York the same night that happened, and he said, "Hey, I need a favor. I need you to defend us. This is what's going on. We want to publish this, this, and this." And then Jeff Loeb was putting together all, like, he put together this huge document of every patriotic character that had a shield, and every patriotic character that had come before, to defend themselves. And they won the case. So they published Fighting American. And I don't know, there's just like a lot of crazy stuff, and I was there for it, and I just never understood, like, the behind the scenes. So it
Wow, that's super interesting.
so I spent $60 on an advertisement of the Agent America because I have to have it.
That's really
I
cool.
bought myself a Fighting American action figure that Liefeld put out,
Did you really?
and then I bought Comic Book Makers, which is what he used to defend the shield, because Marvel never went after Fighting American. Fighting American never had a shield until it was sold to the book market as a kind of a biography of Joe Simon and Jack Kirby. So comic book makers, if you look at that cover, it has Fighting American with the shield. And they had never went after him for that, so it's like he could use that to defend, hey, well, I just licensed Fighting American and he had a shield.
That's really
So
interesting. So you learned all this stuff from the podcast?
yeah, Robservations. There was like 5 episodes of Heroes Reborn and 2 episodes of Fighting American. And God, I hope he gets into the Youngblood because that's got so much drama too. But it's incredible. Like all the call outs, and he reads out letters like that he has from lawyers and stuff, and it the whole behind the scenes thing is just fascinating to me.
Wow,
It's
that's really cool.
like a documentary.
Yeah. That
Yeah,
sounds very cool. So I might have to, is it an ongoing podcast or?
He started, I didn't listen to it, but Joe, our Joe Crawford, he told me you should listen to Robservations, and this is before Heroes Reborn thing came on. But he said, you're gonna like it, Mike, and he was right. Like he knew, I think Joe knows me well enough to know that I'm gonna get stoked and go down rabbit holes and bullshit like that. He knew that I would like this, but see, I love Liefeld's art. I love what he did. Like I know it's not like Alan Moore. Do you know what I mean? But I like Liefeld comics. I always have. I just don't like him behind the scenes because he's got like he's kind of arrogant. I mean,
He's very arrogant,
he's
yeah.
got a, he's got it, but at the same time, he's very interesting, enthusiastic, and I got sucked into this world, and it's I am stockpiling podcasts that I normally listen to listen to Robservations. Like that's my. As soon as it comes out, I see a new one come out. That's what I'm listening to. I drop whatever I'm listening to. I don't finish it. I listen to Robservations.
Wow.
That's what I want to hear. Like my podcast listening has changed because of COVID. Some people change their format. Some people don't come out as frequently. Like my top podcasts now are Robservations. What is that one? It's on the Nerdy Legion feed. I can't even think what it is. Oh, Bright Side Chat. But not but I don't listen to the movies ones. I only listen to the comic book one. And then I listen to that other comic store one, the Chicago one. So
Comcast? No, that's
no,
not.
this one is challenge Contest of Challengers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know how far behind I am because of the
Yeah,
I don't
because
have
you
Charm.
gave me a comment back on mine and it
Was only
was
2 months
way
old.
late. It was like 4 months late.
It was 2 months.
And it's already made the decision to go the other route.
Did you? I don't like that decision. I want to know why you how am I supposed to know what you did?
Well, now you're going more off of memory instead
Oh
of
my
me
God.
writing it down.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
Time to reconsider.
Well, you might you won't know if you like it or not until you next year when you get to the next episode.
Well, you know what's funny is that what I was going to tell you is that I decided like started on Wednesday while I'm just sitting and working, as long as obviously I'm not on calls or whatever or needed to talk to somebody. I've been putting just podcasts. I'm starting to put podcasts on. So I'm like, I got to get somewhat caught up because this is only going to keep getting worse because there's no doubt we're going to still be at home at least through the end of the year. I'm like, I need to get farther along on these podcasts. I can't just keep going from, like, I have them all just, you know, as they came out. So the oldest one is July 8th. I still have. July 8th.
Yeah.
It's September 6th. It's 2 months still. So I'm just going to try to keep listening. And, you know, I should be able to crank out two or three, you know, every day in between phone calls and stuff like that.
Yeah, a couple of the formats changed entirely. So I just, like, dropped certain podcasts. And I added a bunch more, but I never stopped exercising, which is, well, I always walk Harley. That's a 40-minute walk every morning. That's mm-hmm. 40 minutes of podcast. I always listen when I'm getting ready in the morning. I usually listen on the commute, which is only a 10-minute commute.
Yep.
But then I listen at any time I'm doing chores or outdoor activities outside. So I'm still fairly caught up. I've fallen behind. Like, I'm caught up on Nerdy Legion, the proper, but they haven't recorded an episode in like forever.
Right.
They did the mushroom episode, and then they did one episode, and then I don't know what's going on, but I kind of know that something's changed, but I don't know if I'm allowed to say it publicly, but maybe you should
tell me privately.
Yeah. But I mean, it's not the Nerdy Legion is still going to exist. I just know that something sort of changed, but I'm caught up in that. I've fallen behind in 11 o'clock comics, and they've pumping out stuff left and right. I listened to him on the walk today because I was caught up on Robservations, and I'm caught up on Comics for Fun and Profit. I always listen to that. So I for the most part, I'm keeping caught up, other than the podcast that I've sort of dropped. And there's things that, like, happen, like Derek doesn't put out podcasts anymore, like from the Comic Book Noise. He mm-hmm. does, like, one a month if we're lucky. Or it's one every other month. He doesn't do it as much for whatever reason. So it's changed. I had to go search for podcasts to keep me busy. That's what I did.
Oh. Now, I've noticed the opposite. A couple of podcasts I listen to, just they keep pumping out more and more. It's like one of the first ones that I started to listen to when I was looking for podcasts was, you know, I mean, makes sense. I typed in comic books in a search, just looking to see what podcasts exist. And one called Comic Book Club showed up, and it's the three guys in New York City.
Yeah.
And they pump those things out. Like, I mean, they do two every week, but then they started all of a sudden out of nowhere. I noticed, I'm not up to it, obviously, but I noticed just a few weeks ago they started doing like bonus episodes too. So I'm like, oh my Lord, it's just getting more and more and more.
Yeah.
So
there's more competition for sure.
Yeah.
And the only reason I really even tried other things is because of COVID, because other podcasts that were my go-to, I either didn't like it when they came back, changed, or they don't come out very much.
Yeah.
So I had to go look for other things, and now hopefully Robservations keeps on going, because I want to know. I even told him on social media. I know it's close to his heart, and he probably doesn't want to go into it, but I really want to know why he doesn't control Youngblood, Troll, and all those other properties anymore. Like, why does this other company control his stuff now? Like,
right.
I want him to get into that, like, because he doesn't seem like the guy that would let his babies go.
No,
and I want to know so much about that, because that guy, the other guy that owns that stuff, is supposedly he worked during COVID to start producing Troll, Youngblood, and Supreme Comics. So hopefully we'll be seeing those come out sometime.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't, and I think the other one that he has is Elementals, which is a I'm a huge fan of.
Yeah, that other company. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I mean, he's had them for a while, then I don't know. He
Yeah,
doesn't.
there's
He's not garnering a lot of goodwill from a lot of comic
artists.
book, yeah, or, yeah, for whatever reason. So,
Well, some of them are
I don't
claiming they don't pay him, they haven't been paid yet, so
know.
I've been following the drama, but I don't know much about it, and I want to know more from Liefeld's perspective because I want to know like why he lost that stuff.
Right.
But
Interesting.
I'll still buy the Youngbloods and stuff when it comes out for sure. I'll be looking for it. But
Yeah, I'm sure I will too.
anyway, do you want to jump into, well, you covered BioShock. Was that one of your choices, or was
It
that just part of the
no, it was
relationship?
it was it was one of my choices. I highly, I'm not telling anyone that's a video game player. I'm not telling anyone anything new, because, like I said, this game's 13 years old, and I
It's a
mean, I
popular
remember hearing
game,
about it.
though.
Yeah, a very popular game, but I mean, I'm really
Well,
enjoying it. So.
since we're talking video games, I'll go into a comic book. Sometimes I just find I go to the comic book shop. I don't get much there anymore. Like I just go to. I've been going lately because I've been asking him to pull some of the books that I decided to stop and then wanted to add back in, mostly Image. Like Texas Blood or whatever that one is. Like I like that one a lot. And Bliss. There was a couple of Image titles that I've been going in and he's been pulling them for me. And then I go into the back issue stock. Like I bought some Conan because I have like Conan 1 through 120 and I'm sort of working on the back half now. And I didn't know I don't know how much I was missing, so I said I'm going to start in the 200s and work my way back because I know I don't have those later issues. And I was just looking at piles of stuff and I saw this comic and it was Marvel Comics number 1, 295, Sega Saturn Virtual Fighter number 1. And I'm like, "Well, God, that's a fighting game that I loved. It was why I bought a Sega Saturn." Me and at the time that this came out, Virtual Fighter was a big game at the arcades, and I didn't have a house yet. Me and Barb lived in an apartment here in Colorado, and I had a coworker that lived in an apartment about, I don't know, it was like a quarter of a mile away from me, and I was across the street from a mall, so we would walk to the mall from my apartment and go play Virtual Fighter. And we dropped a lot of quarters in that game, a lot of quarters. And then Sega Saturn came out and it had Virtual Fighter. And we both bought a console. So we'd go to each other's houses and play Virtual Fighter. And I didn't know this comic existed. I'm like, well, that's weird. It's got Marvel Comics. But if you look at it and you look at the ads inside, like I was just like, where did this? I didn't even know this existed. I saw an ad for Mantra. I saw an ad for Ultra Force. I saw an ad for Black September, and I'm like, oh, this was a Malibu comic, but this is after Marvel bought Malibu, so this is like towards the tail end. And it had an ad for Rune, and in the back it had an ad for Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Mortal Kombat, Mortal Kombat, Katrina and Milena, and Virtual Fighter. And I'm like, oh, those are the licensed properties that Malibu was doing. So that's where this thing came from, even though there's no indication that it's a Malibu comic. It came from the Malibu side. And there's only one issue. If you look at our database,
I'm looking.
there
Do you have the special edition or the second print?
I have the second print, which has the barcode in the right-hand corner. So, it and really, it's I don't know why they made this comic. I can't figure out in my life because There's only one issue, and it sort of just introduces you to the characters. Like they exist in this future world called Virtua City, and they're all training to for the Virtual Fighter tournament, Virtua tournament. And Jeffrey and Akira and Sarah and Wolf and Lau and Pai and Cage and Jackie are all in that tournament. And it sort of gives you the backstory, mostly about Pei, like she's an action film star. Jeffrey is a fisherman, and he just learned to become a bad. He was the guy that I used to fight with. And then it has the two brother and sister, who they build a lot of the story around, but they never finish the story. It's Sarah Bryant and Jackie Bryant. And Jackie Bryant was a race car driver that got in a bad accident and then came back and to become a good fighter, but he never was able to race again. And Sarah Bryant was trying to find out who set up Jackie to crash and got into this mysterious organization, and they sort of kidnapped her. And then Jackie's trying to find her. Akira was a trainer. Wolf was like a guy that was a wrestler. And if you remember the game, Wolf, he was the guy that had all the kinds of cool wrestling moves. Pei is the most slick looking one. And later on, they got like, I used to like to play with the Drunken Master. I don't know if you ever saw this game,
No, I
but
haven't.
at that time, the Jackie Chan movie came and it was like Legends of the Drunken Master or something like that. And it was fight drunken style. Like, it made fun of like the movements of you fight like a drunk. It's like unpredictable moves. And that's what this old guy was, but he's not in here. But it just introduces the story and then sets up the conspiracy that the secret organization is setting thing. And then at the last page it says, "The battle has begun for the champions of Virtual Fighter. See you in the game." Like there's nothing else there. So it introduces all the characters. It sets up this conspiracy, and then you have to finish the story in the game. And I don't know like why it exists. I think it's cool that it exists, and I definitely want to go down the rabbit hole of getting the rest of the Malibu stuff for Mortal Kombat, especially.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So that Malibu has Mortal Kombat stuff.
They
I
had
see
part
that.
of it, not all of it, but they had
Yeah.
a few.
I see that now.
They
Like
had Star
this.
Trek, Deep Space Nine. They had some stuff, licensed stuff. This thing I didn't even know exists, though, and I was very surprised to see it. I wouldn't have looked for it ever, but it just happened to be sitting on top of a box. Like somebody had made a pile of books. It looks like they were shopping, and I was like, man, this guy's got some good taste. Just some really obscure stuff, and I ended up picking like three of that were on that pile that whoever put it together.
It's your pile
It's my pile now. I knew
now.
I wasn't taking somebody else's because there was nobody else in the store.
That's right. Very cool. See, video game connection there.
Yeah. And I never heard of these creators on the book.
No,
I
I
thought I
haven't.
would recognize like one or two, you know?
Yeah.
I had no clue who any of them are.
Very cool. Well, the next what I want to cover is I think you know that I've been reading Firestorm.
Firestorm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been enjoying that. It'd be my first full read through for the whole series because I bought a lot of it as it was coming out, but not until like later on and like the issues probably, oh God, I don't even know, 30s, 40s, I would say. And I didn't continue all the way up either. So I completed it a while back. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna actually buckle down and read the whole thing. So I'm gonna cover Fury of Firestorm number 25 through 27. It's one storyline. And what we've got at this point is it's the return of Black Bison. He was the first villain that Firestorm fights when this title was relaunched as Fury of Firestorm. And I guess it's not quite right to say villain, but he's actually a history teacher at Ronnie Raymond's school. And at the time he lived with now I'm talking about like issues 1 and 2. He lived with his great grandfather, and he's Native American, and he's very, the great grandfather's son and grandson have already passed away. So it's just him and his great grandson. And he was the shaman of his tribe. And now that there's no one left, he really wanted to pass this down to his great grandson. And his great grandson is, you know, living in regular modern society as, you know, as a history teacher. And he's actually dating the school nurse who's a white woman. And he's, you know, he's not looking for that as part of his life. And it's really bothers the grandfather that he's not interested. But anyhow, what ends up happening is the great grandfather ends up getting jumped of all things when he was performing a ceremony in Central Park. And it was a benign ceremony to kind of grant his great grandson like extra knowledge and so on and so forth. But because it was interrupted by these muggers, which the great grandfather ended up dying from, it disrupted the ceremony. And it literally, like, this amulet that, or this necklace, I should say, that the history teacher wears is almost like, I don't want to say possessed because that's not quite it, but his personality ends up being taken over, and he now believes that he's like, you know, a great ancestor of Native Americans, and he's there on Earth to bring America back to how it was prior to being settled by Europeans. So that's what ends up happening, is that his personality just totally changes, and he believes that's his purpose. And they had an exhibit going on at the museum. And
Shades of Gray of a villain, then.
Yeah.
Because he just wants back what was taken from him.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I mean, and I have to say, even, and I'm talking a little bit about 1 and 2, but just as you know, history for this new storyline. But even like with this coming out back in the mid-80s, it's, you can tell that it wouldn't be written the same way today as it was then. You know, it's much more still, I think, white centric.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you're not encouraged to overly sympathize with the Native Americans. Like,
yeah.
This is their, you know, of course, you know, there's problems and stuff like that, but you're not meant to really sympathize with what Black Bison is doing. And at the museum, they had some stuff there, an exhibit on Native Americans with a headdress and a coop stick, which is what I guess the shaman uses. I've never heard that term before. But anyhow, when he grabs that stuff, he can actually use this stick to animate inanimate
objects,
creatures. Yeah, it's not just like, it doesn't seem to be like Firestorm can like transform any object. Seems like he can more like, there's bears at the museum that were taxidermied. He can actually bring those to life. So they have to be something that looks like an actual being. It doesn't ever have to have been alive, but he ends up.
But Firestorm is still at this time, he can't do non-organic.
He can't actually directly attack any living thing or living,
which is interesting because Doomsday Clock, that plays with that.
Yeah, it does.
Big
yeah,
time.
Right. Yeah. Well,
I was shocked how much of a how big of a character he was. That
he was. Yeah, I listened to you and
he
Kyle because that was about 2 months ago. I
yeah.
just listened to that one, and it was you guys had a good discussion on that.
Yeah, I didn't expect Doomsday Clock to focus so much on him, and it did.
Yeah,
He was a big
I followed
part
that.
of it.
Yeah, I got to reread the whole thing all in one sitting. I've got the collection now, so I'm going to do that through that rather than the single issues.
It'll be better for you, I think, because you had to wait a long time between
Oh, I totally
storylines.
agree. Yeah,
So your
100%.
first experience is going to be much different than your second.
Yes, 100%. So he ended up being defeated by, they managed to get the amulet off of him. Firestorm kind of chucks it and it disappears. So Bat immediately reverts him back to history teacher. They ended up not pressing charges because he had been, they convinced the authorities that he had been kind of, possessed. So what we're seeing here in issue 25 through 27 is a new character comes and it's a Native American woman, and she's walking through the zoo in New York City, and she's being drawn to the seal enclosure. Of course, as you would in the 80s, the typical, she's a female alone in at dusk at the in the park, and some troublemakers come to try to rob her. And what you see is that she herself can transform into all of these different animals. So she basically mauls them to death. She ends up jumping into the seal pond, and at the bottom of the pond is Black Bison's amulet. That's where it had landed, and it has rested for these many months. So she grabs it. She manages to approach John Ravenhair, who is the history teacher at Ronnie's school, and she kind of has a way to even magically seduce. I mean, she's a beautiful Native American woman, but she can seems to be able to seduce men as well, and basically tricks him into putting the amulet back on. Immediately thinks that he's Black Bison again. They get his equipment, his headdress, and his stick, and her plan is that they're actually going to go to Washington and they're going to get their land back. Initially, when they encounter Firestorm, is actually on the cover of 25. It's pretty entertaining because, as I mentioned, that acoustic can make alive inanimate things. So they're battling, and Crash and they knock Firestorm through a toy store, and he's just covered with stuffed animals, which then Black Bison makes alive, and they all just like overwhelm him to the point where like he's just so covered in these things, it's like he's having trouble just even deciding how to fight them off, even though it should be no problem at all. And in the meantime, White Deer, who's the name of the female, she ends up turning into a cobra and biting him, and it kind of like knocks him out for a little bit, and he has to get the blood sucked out, the venom. And so anyhow, he ends up him and well, he ends up going to Washington D.C. To chase them down. And what their plan is that she's actually working with the Russians for they're having a party at their Russian embassy. And she's arranged to have many of the people in Congress invited to this. And what she's going to do is she's going to end up with her powers. Once they're all there, she's going to hypnotize them and have them go back the next day and pass a resolution to give all of the land back to the Native Americans for throughout the entire country. So, Firehawk is the daughter of a U.S. senator, And she first appeared back in, I think, issue one or two. And she ended up getting powers in an earlier earlier issue. And she's through a similar method that Firestorm did, but she can like shoot like heat blasts and stuff and fly. And so the two of them end up teaming up and putting in an end to Black Bison and White Deer's plot. And it's even they're right there at the actual embassy and fighting. And at first they were reluctant because Firehawk's like, you can't go there. You're going to create a national incident. But they decide that, you know, it's more important to actually get this taken care of. So that's what they end up doing. They crash the party at the embassy. Firehawk and White Deer are going at it, and you know, White Deer is turning into every animal you can imagine. Firestorm and Black Bison are attacking each other until finally, once again, he manages to knock out Black Bison and kind of get that amulet off him, and he can't believe what's going on. And the whole embassy actually ends up going up in smoke, and Firestorm rescues everyone, but the only one that they can't find is White Deer. So it's debated whether or not did she get away? Did she transform into an animal and escape on her own, or did she die and buried somewhere under that rubble? So, you know, I'm sure as the series goes on, we'll see more of Black Bison and probably White Deer as well. But this was a really entertaining three issue storyline. And it's cool too, because I got to say, Jerry Conway, and you can do that. You could do this back, you know, with the way that comics were so decompressed back in the 80s, is that he's got quite a supporting cast, because, you know, Firestorm is two different people. And so they have their own kind of, you know, friends and family. So they have quite a large cast. You have, a few people from school with Ronnie's father. He had been dating a girl by the name of Doreen. But then when he's Firehawk, that Lorraine Riley, who is, I'm sorry, when he's Firestorm, when he's dating Lorraine Riley, she immediately becomes attracted to him. And then when she becomes Firehawk, the two of them start having something going on. And he's not sure really what he wants to do about that. Does he want to pursue Lorraine, or does he want to stick with Doreen? And even at this point that I'm reading, it seems like he's leaning to Lorraine. And as a matter of fact, Doreen had seen the two of them walking next to each other, and so she's giving him the cold shoulder. Seems like that might be that relationship might be done for. But Martin Stein also, you know, he works at a lab. He's got a coworker that appears a lot. He has an ex-wife who seems to be working for this secretive group called the 2000. And she's appeared on and off. She actually was a bigger role in a previous story arc where Firestorm defeated the main villain and didn't even know that Martin Stein's ex-wife had anything to do with it. So she's still in and out of life and also working for this sinister organization. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of moving parts. It's a lot of fun to kind of read, this era's stories where it's very involved in a lot of characters. So that was up to issue, 27. I've read one more since then, so I'm almost one third of the way through the run.
Yeah, you got quite a ways, though.
Yes, I do.
And then it's a lot of fun. The series becomes just Firestorm, doesn't it?
Later on it sure does. Yep.
It's elemental.
Yep. Yeah, so that, it's a good time, though. I'm enjoying reading that.
Now you just have to find that trade to get that unpublished
number six.
Yeah.
No, I don't have it.
It's weird that they, on the back of it, that it doesn't advertise it, but it's in there. I found my trade the other day and I looked for it. That unpublished Canceled Comics Cavalcade is what they call it.
Wish they
Issue
would even
of
put it like
Firestorm is
somewhere.
in there. There's one from Black Lightning too.
Oh, I heard that. Yes.
Yeah, I read that one. There's a Creeper. I have that one too because it was in the Creeper collection. There was a couple of them. I think I've gotten most of the comics that have been canceled in some form of collected edition. The unpublished Joker story in the Joker Omnibus, the
Yeah.
Bronze Age, yeah.
That's
There's a
cool.
lot of fun ones.
Yeah, so maybe one day I'll be able to read that issue six, but for the time being I'm just going through and knocking these 100+ annual issues out, and it's been fun. I'm not tired of it in the least, so I'm having a good time reading it.
Yeah.
Every day I try to take a lunch every day at during work. So and now that we're working from home and it's summertime, I'll go outside for an hour and just sit in the backyard and read two or three issues.
That's good.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Well, my next one came from the comic shop, but I had already ordered this from Aaron Myers, and so I have two copies, but I couldn't turn it down for I spent $10 on one of them and $2.50 on the other. But it's a Todd McFarlane cover, which I'm a sucker for. I'm a sucker for when the Image guys were doing Marvel covers for obscure titles. And this is Conan the Barbarian 241. And it has a Todd McFarlane cover on the front. And the interior is done by Gary Hartle. And the writing is Roy Thomas. I mean, Roy Thomas, man, good Lord, did he write a lot back in the day.
Yeah, he did.
I
What
can't even
number was it?
fathom. 241. I read this issue and then I was like, damn, this is part one of a three-parter, and I only have part three. I don't have part two. I didn't realize. I didn't read the cover. It says on the cover, it says the sorcerer and the she-devil. Well, the she-devil's Red Sonja. So I didn't know it was going to be a Red Sonja cover because I failed to read the top part of the cover. Conan is going through a town, and he's seeing people take advantage of the rich when they get drunk. But he wants to go drink too, so he gives his horse to this one guy and says, "Take care of my horse." Goes into a bar. He's hit on by some women. He doesn't want to have sex. He just wants to drink. He's like,
Sure.
"Hey, I just want to drink." But because one of those maidens was on him, he causes like a ruckus amongst some of the guys that are at the bar. And gets into a huge bar fight, and he ends up beating the crap out of virtually everybody in the bar. And then a sorcerer, a priest, comes in, and he says, "I need your help, Sumerian. I need you to take me to this one part of the land, as I'm being hired to marry two people." And he reluctantly takes the. He knows this guy from previous issues. And actually, he doesn't like him much, but he decides to take him up on his offer and be a bodyguard for him. Meanwhile, he runs in when he's going out there looking for his horse. He runs into the guy that stole his horse, and the guy says, "Your horse is no longer yours, barbarian. As sure as my name is." And he never finishes that sentence because he drags him off the horse and beats the shit out of him. And Conan responds, he goes, "Yes, but I wonder why that oaf imagined anyone would care what his name was." I just got a kick out of that. And then it gives some flashbacks about how he met this guy on an earlier adventure and his run-in with Red Sonja. And then he sees all these carts like leaving the city that he's heading towards. And they are Red Sonja's people, Zamorians. And he stops the one guy on the cart. He's like, "Why are you leaving?" And he goes, "We're being chased out. The taxes are too much. The guy's killing us." in our families and not feeding us. He starves us. And there, he's like, damn. And then he says, I warn you of crossing that bridge because there's a toll. He says a toll, but he really meant troll. So he thinks he has to pay to get across. Meanwhile, these people won't take this woman across because they're like, this thing's haunted, this bridge, we don't want to go, there's a troll. Well, it turns out she goes on the bridge anyway, and sure enough, a huge troll crawls from underneath the bridge, and he attacks her. Well, the person he attacks is Red Sonja, and Conan sort of saves her and fights this demon. And it looks like Conan's going to get drowned by the troll. And this troll doesn't look like a troll. He looks like a hairy werewolf. They call him a troll. And Conan stabs him, but he's like a mystical beast where you can't really... You can hurt him, but he heals immediately. So Red Sonja saves Conan from being drowned by jabbing a sword into his back. And then Conan grabs his sword and cuts his head off. And then the body of the troll goes after the head because he can reattach it, but it's flowing down the river. And Red Sonja, it turns out that the marriage that she's getting married to that guy that's taxing everybody, and this priest is the one that's going to marry him. And I'm like, God, I want to read this. So I immediately opened up my app on Marvel Unlimited thinking, well, they might have it. Yeah. And they have no Conan, absolutely nothing. And I'm like, why is that? And
it's
then
because
I thought,
a licensed property?
Yeah, it's probably they don't want to deal with taking it off once they
right.
lose the license. So.
I mean, is any Star Wars stuff on there? Probably not.
Yeah,
huh?
No, but they own Star Wars.
Oh, you know what? I was thinking because prior it would have been licensed. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, man, I have the finale, which I may just go read because I wanted to read it. And I know the comic shop doesn't have it because I grabbed what he had in that area from 240 to 260 or whatever it was.
So where are you going to get 242 from?
I'm going to probably have to order it, but I've been hesitant to order things on the mail because everything has seemed to have trouble in the mail these days because
yes.
of what's happening. So I'm still reluctant to place an order with my comic shop yet, but
yeah.
we might do it in the future.
Interesting.
I'll probably just jump to the third part of the story, and I'll have them all in Omnibus at some point, an epic collection.
Thomas wrote a lot of these issues, huh?
Yeah, he was the
looked like
he
wrote
he
the last
the
like 35
guy.
Or so, and then he wrote hundreds before, you know, like 100 and something
yeah,
before that.
Yeah, he wrote the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had him on 11 O'Clock Comics. He seems like a fascinating guy. I've been to one of his panels. He's just very prolific. He's written a lot. He's very humble, too. He doesn't brag about what he's done, but he's done an awful lot of stuff.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I wanna finish my Conan run. Probably 100 issues off right now.
Uh-huh.
But I have the most expensive ones taken care of, so
I
have like 1 through 130. So the other ones, there might be a couple of them just because they're rare or they have some kind of cover, but I'll seek them out. I don't think they're going to be that high.
No, probably not. It's not like you have to go and look for like 9.8.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think I could get a good portion of what I'm searching for at my comic shop. Because I'm missing
oh, yeah.
like from 130 to 200 too. He has quite a bit of those, so
mm-hmm.
I'll be able to yeah. Go to Ed's Cards and Comics and grab those.
Yeah, you should be able to.
And then I'll have a full run, and then I could work on like the obscure stuff, like Conan the King and King Conan and Conan the Adventure, all that stuff.
How is your guy Ed? How's he
He's
hanging in there? Have you spoken to him?
seems to be doing pretty well. I mean, with all things considered, he's still trying to catch up on all his payments, but he's able to make more payment than he was before, so
Yeah.
he's been selling quite a bit of DC. Like
He has.
he's happy with Lunar. Like he'd rather deal with Lunar than Diamond. Because Diamond shafts him a lot, man, as far as like damages. Like
Yeah.
he has at least two boxes that are. And sometimes I'll go through his damages and I'm saying that's not too damaged. Like I'll buy a copy if it's still readable. But like I forgot to order Empire Swordmaster and I wanted it. And I said, well, can I look at your damaged copy? And I'm like, holy shit. It was like somebody sat on it like five times and bent it five different directions, and the
Really?
staples were just barely holding on. And I said, no, I can't buy that. But
Oh,
he placed a reorder and bought that one for me. So
that's good.
yeah, I was able to get Swordmaster from him, and he knows my situation. Like he's the one that took me in the parking lot and said, you know. He kind of said he thought he was going to be closing at the time.
Right.
And that's when I pulled the plug immediately. It took me like 3 days to decide, and I was bang, there everything on DCBS.
Yeah, I got one. I got another
I've
one.
had some good weeks with DCBS though. They had a couple of I had a couple of bad weeks as far in terms of shipping, but the last couple, man, they've arrived either on a Friday or a Saturday.
I was just gonna say, you're absolutely right. I found the same. I had, because I'm every other week, so last week was one of my shipments, and I got it on, I couldn't believe it, got it on Friday. They shipped it on like Tuesday evening. I'm like, wow, that is on the ball. And I actually sent them an email this week, just for I still had remember Catalyst Prime, the Catalyst Prime comics.
Yeah.
Still on my order, on my orders were like Summit number 16 or something. I'm like, that is not coming out.
Oh, you know what? I haven't looked at that lately.
So I'm like, could I get a credit for Summit 16? I'm fairly sure that's not coming out. That 7 days miniseries came and went, and it's not like they're going to continue the numbering with that. So they responded like the next day. They already
Yeah.
responded the next day.
Did you get your credit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, it's, yeah, very, very quick. So yeah,
What
maybe they're
was that called? Summit?
Summit. Yeah. Were you getting Summit at the time?
I was all in.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, number 16. I should
Yeah.
send him a note.
Yeah, for
I
whatever
don't keep
reason,
track of that a lot, but
every once in a while I'll look to see, is there anything really, really old that like just still has never come out? And that was one of them.
7 days. Do I have it all? Yeah, no, I don't have number six. I never ordered it. Son of a bitch.
You never got number six?
Well, I never ordered it. It looks like I missed ordering it. I go from five to seven. So that's something I'll have to seek out. That
That's
happens.
true.
That happens a lot. If you don't keep caught up, you don't sometimes know that you missed an issue until you go to read it, or somebody mentions something and you go look. That
Well,
might
if you're
not be
letting
easy
up
to get either, because
7 days, number six,
yeah.
maybe not. Check my comic shop.
I have quite the order in there right now, but I've waited so long to place an order that I don't know if I'm in the mood for all of this stuff yet, because my mood
Well, they got it,
switches.
Mike. They have number six in stock there.
Yeah.
So that's good.
I could always take yours.
Good? How?
I'll just drive down there when we go down to visit you when the COVID's over and take it out of your box.
Our numbers here in our particular area they went up, like, not like they're not terrible, but they, like, the rest of the state's been under 1% for like 3 weeks or something like that,
Yeah.
but us, 1.8. The other day it was 2.3. Yesterday it was 1.4. I don't know why it's so much higher than the rest of the state.
Nah, it's because people get careless.
Yeah, they do. And,
We
I
went to
know
the zoo
zoos are coming
yesterday, and
back. Oh, I saw that.
there was a lot of people that weren't masked. Even when it said it, you should be masked indoors, they just didn't mask up.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it a lot of when you're indoors, like at a public spot
It's
or not?
about half and half, I would say.
But is it? But did Colorado say that you have to do it? Like it's a
Yeah,
law.
you have
Oh,
to.
yeah, same here.
It's just that
But yeah,
not all the
outdoors you can
buildings
see
are
a lot of people.
monitored. Like, sometimes the building is like heavily monitored to make sure there's only 15 people in that building at one any given time. And then there's other buildings that aren't as monitored as much. And like there's people that work there that are sticklers, and then there's people that work there that are not sticklers to the
Yeah, they
rules, so
probably don't want to deal with getting possibly yelled at or
beat up or yelled at or
just pretend they don't see it.
yeah.
We went to the Science Museum a couple weeks ago, and obviously you have to have a mask, and that I think if you're willing to go to the Science Museum and stuff like that, I think that you have more compliance, and that's exactly what we saw. We didn't see anyone without masks on at the Science Museum. They had mummies, so we wanted to go show the kids the mummies.
Yeah.
It's fun. But yeah, outdoors with the zoo, that I can definitely see it being very hit or miss, especially like going in, going out. People don't want to keep putting their mask back on.
Yeah. The highlight was like I was nervous, I'll be honest with you, like the first quarter, maybe first half. And then I just said, what can I do? I just try to stay 6 feet away and always keep my mask on. And I was a little more relaxed, but
That's all you can do.
I enjoyed, there was a couple of scenes that I thought the animals, for as late in the day as we went, I thought they were really active. Like after they were either done eating or in the process of eating. But, the things that I saw that I thought were fascinating were the bears, because there were two grizzly bears, and we saw them like outdoors, like they looked like they were gonna like play fight, and then one of the bears went like to the water part, and the other one stayed there, and then later they both ended up in the water, and that was interesting. It was fascinating because these are grizzlies, man. They're big. They're big bears, and I enjoyed that. And then there was a sloth that Barb pointed me to in one of the areas where the monkeys were, and I was like, "That's not a sloth," because it was right over our head, and it wasn't in a enclosed area. And I was like, that's just them putting a stuffed animal there to look like a sloth. And it really was a sloth. And later on, the zookeeper woman, she sort of brought it outside to feed it, like, and it was crawl. They're so slow, but it was like crawling on a rope outside, right above our heads, and that was kind of cool. Those things move so damn slow.
My wife loves sloths.
Yeah.
Loves them. Yeah.
So that was really cool. I like that.
Sounds
Because
fun.
I never see a sloth move other than not I've seen a move on videos and stuff before, but I've never seen one move like live like that. Or
Yeah.
I usually just see them hanging there not doing anything.
Well,
But
yeah, that's true.
this one was
It's what
being
they do
fed.
probably most
Yeah,
of
it was being fed,
the
so
day. That's awesome.
yeah. And I always enjoy the reptile piece that they I think they did a really good job with the reptile stuff because they made it like an artsy thing. Like they made like this abstract and vase things and they put together like this art. It looks like an art museum, like if you were to go look at art, but inside of the art are the reptiles, and that's pretty cool.
So, do you have your own zoo in Colorado Springs?
Yeah, it's actually fifth in the nation. It won fifth best zoo in the nation.
Oh, see, we're
Yeah.
not winning any awards with that, except for I can't remember what rank we are in terms of the one of the oldest zoos.
Yeah. We are known for having the best giraffes, I think, in the country. Because they're a lot, and they breed really well in the mountains. I don't know why it is, because you wouldn't think it, but we have giraffe babies all over the place.
Wow,
And then
really?
we have an outdoor area too, where they have it's called the Australian Outback, and they have like the it's not like a kangaroo, but it's wallabies, and they're like out with you. There's a bunch of wallabies.
Oh,
And
really?
that was pretty cool. And then this is the first time I ever went to the zoo. They have this Mexican wolf section, and you never see the wolves like ever because the area that they have is huge. And this was the first time that we saw two. Like we saw them, and they were actually around. And then we
You,
saw two lynxes chasing a chipmunk. So that was
isn't it
interesting.
cool when you go and they're actually lively?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have elephants there or no?
Yeah, they have a big elephant area.
We
If you
always had elephants, but they finally moved them out because the enclosure is so ridiculously small for elephants.
Yeah.
It's just not right.
I think if you go to Facebook and you look at the pictures I posted, there's a
Yeah.
picture of me and Barb, and if you look in the back, there's elephants in the background.
I'm going to
Like
take a look.
yeah, you'll see how wide
I'm
that
actually going to
is.
go on the Colorado Springs Zoo website and look. I was just looking at the Buffalo Zoo. So it's the third oldest zoo in the United States. It was founded in 1875.
Well, that's interesting. That's an old zoo.
It's very old, but I mean, and they've been doing a lot to remodel, but it's like where it is, it's on an island. It's not literally on an island, but it's surrounded by streets and on a city park that they're not willing to expand into.
Yeah.
The city's not willing to let them expand into. So it can only be the size that it is. And it's just not big. I mean, think about when it was created and made there. Like your animals were in tiny little 6x6 cages. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they've
And
they've made
they've
our
done so
zoo
much
like
more, but
yeah, they've made our zoo like pretty amazing.
what is the name of your zoo? Is
The
it Cheyenne
Cheyenne
Mountain?
Mountain.
Okay, yeah, that's the one that came up.
Yeah.
Wow. It looks like you have a beautiful
Yeah,
zoo.
it's a very strange zoo though, because it seems like when you're there, you're going uphill at huge slants. Like I have problems with my hips, and my left hip was killing me because we were walking uphill most of the time. And it is really slant sloped.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very mountainous. You really are on the side of a mountain. And some of the times you're going down, it's not as bad. And then once you're at the exhibits, it's sort of flat. But when you're going from exhibit to exhibit, it's pretty slopey.
Well, when we come to Colorado, you're going to have to take us to the zoo. I see that you have hippos
Oh,
and rhinos.
your kids would love the feeding areas.
This is insane.
Oh, you could feed the giraffes. Like you see
I'm
this like
seeing
huge
that on a
tongues.
picture right now.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe the kids and how they love the giraffes. Like to feed, 'cause you know giraffe tongues,
Yeah.
they come out about like 2 feet. I mean, they just come out and grab. Like there was this one kid, me and Barb were laughing because this kid. The mom hands this kid like a whole head of lettuce, right? And the kid doesn't like know what to do yet because the mom hasn't said, "Oh, you grab the lettuce and give." And then all of a sudden, this kid is holding this like head of lettuce, and a huge tongue just comes out, whoop, and grabs the entire head of lettuce. And the kid is there like, the whole, all everything that he had to feed the giraffes was gone in a second. And then he starts to cry because it's slime. He slimed him. He's like,
That's
"Ew!" and then he cries. It was funny.
pretty funny. I wonder
And you can
if
feed the
we would.
goats. And then there's an area we didn't go to it this time, but it's like a petting zoo part, and it's probably one of the best petting zoo things that I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah.
This is pretty cool. I know we're members of our zoo, and that can give us discounts or free admission in a lot of other zoos, but I don't know if yours is included or not.
Yeah, my
But
parents have that.
this is beautiful. This is a beautiful zoo.
Oh, and every like area that you stand on, you could like overlook it oversees the entire city. Like you could see the entire city from there. It's pretty
Wow.
amazing.
Did you get yourself a zoo mask?
No, I
You
brought
can
my
get
own.
any type of mask that you want now. Like
I
1 year ago, we had no idea what that would even mean.
yeah.
Now, it was like, oh, you like Iron Maiden? Here's an Iron Maiden mask.
That's
Oh,
right.
you like Captain America? Here's a Captain America mask.
Yeah.
Everything under the sun.
I wore the right one. I wore the Harley mask, which is probably the most comfortable in terms of heat. But
Yeah, this is.
I like the cloth ones with the non-elastic straps. Those are my favorite.
I don't know if you've seen this. I'm just surfing the website now, but they have I think about getting it for Stacy. They have a sloth T-shirt
Yeah.
that the sloth like with his claws like Wolverine, and it says "Not so fast, Cheyenne."
Oh, she would have loved this sloth because it was like right above. Oh, they have like a bird feeding thing, which is amazing. They put this like sweetener on the end of a popsicle stick,
Oh, okay, yeah.
and then you go into it, and these birds like just land on you and eat the stick.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, hopefully this coronavirus can we won't have to deal with this for more than another year and start planning some trips.
Yeah, it's a fun zoo.
Looks great.
Like there's things that I wish it wasn't COVID because like I could sit there and watch penguins all day and I felt like we had to move in the
Right.
penguin section because the
No, I
line was
totally
forming
get that.
and
Yeah, you can't just, that's the thing. You just can't
yeah,
stick
'cause
around
the
forever.
penguins are like they're like my favorite to watch, but they were like moving up the rocks. And the one penguin like sort of grabbed the other one and pushed him down so he could get in front. And I just think I love watching penguins. I could sit there and like I even told Barb when I retire, I'd sure like to be a volunteer in the penguin house. Yeah,
You should totally
I'd
do that.
get a kick out of it.
Why not,
Like
right?
even when we were in Baltimore, I think it was Baltimore. They have the aquarium there, and they have a big penguin thing. And I will spend a lot of time in there because I love him. I love penguins for some reason.
That's cool.
There's two things I love: owls and penguins.
Wow, nice. Yeah, I'm really impressed with your zoo.
Yeah, it's very interactive. It's a cool zoo. And this was the first time, like I said, we were usually we go fairly early, I think, but there because of COVID, they like block out times, and then you have to say, I'm going between the hours like of 11:20 and 11:40, and you have to show up
Yeah.
during your time.
That's how the science museum was too.
Yeah.
I had to buy the tickets online in advance for a certain time frame.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
And then I came home and I had a box full of comics and two Kickstarters, and we ordered a New York style pizza, so that was good.
What a good day.
Yeah. I wish we had more days off like that.
Yeah. Are you off tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow I am.
Yeah, we are too. Well, I am. Stacy's working. Well, you know what? I got one more I can cover.
Yeah, go for it.
I got Adventure Comics number 312.
Adventure. Was it a Legion one?
Yeah. And so this one is Lightning Lad, excuse me, is dead, and right on the cover, they're trying to figure out how to bring him back to life. They have him in a glass coffin. It doesn't reference in here when he died, and I meant to look that up and I never did. So I don't know if he died just previous to this, or if he had been dead for a few issues, or what the situation was. But anyhow, he's dead, and this issue they decided that they need to try to figure out how to bring him back to life. So they're waiting around. So what we've got Superboy, Saturn Girl, Sun Boy, Lightning Lass, Chameleon Boy, and his pet Protea. That little, are you familiar with Protea? It's just like a little blob.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're waiting for Mon-El to come back. He went out. He went to a mission. He went back to his home planet, Daxam, to try to figure out if any of the scientists there had any ideas on how to bring Lightning Lad back to life. So he comes. He makes it back, and he tells everyone that he had no luck at all. They have no idea. And Saturn Girl gets a quick like glimpse of his thoughts. And before he started talking, and he briefly thought that he did know a way to bring him Lightning Lad back, but so Saturn Girl realizes that Mon-El is lying, and how could this be? And Lightning Lass is did I say her? I don't remember, but Lightning Lass is there too, and. So she's crying and saying, "We're never going to bring him back." And Superboy says, "No, we're not going to quit. We're going to keep looking until we find a way to bring back Garth." So he says, "Let's split up. Let's go. Well, first, let's go to the library, and we're going to get any information that we can about reviving somebody from the dead." And once we get some information there, then we will split up and we'll go across the universe wherever these leads may find us. So that's what they do. And Saturn Girl says that she'll go with Mon-El because she's suspicious as to what's going on. Superboy's going to go one way, and the rest of them are going to take the Legion Rocket a third direction. So what Superboy finds is that he goes to a particular planet that has two stars, an orange star and a blue star. And the orange star is currently up, and what happens is the planet actually kind of like does like a figure eight. It goes around one sun and then it flips around and goes around the other sun. So there it's around the orange planet, and he flies and he sees all of these people all over the place just lying out in the open in glass coffins. And then as it starts moving away from the orange sun and gets by the blue sun, they all get up and start walking around like they were sleeping. So he's like, it must be the rays from this blue sun that brings them back to life. So he takes a portion of that, brings it back to where they have Lightning Lad's coffin, and exposes Lightning Lad to these rays, but nothing happens. It's like it must be just the situation on that planet. So he fails. So Mon-El and Saturn Girl go, and they had found evidence of a creature that dies and then comes back to life. And they figure if they can get some information on that, that might help them. So they look all over the place for these creatures and finally find an old one that's just about to die. And they kind of hang out and wait, and it passes away. And shortly after that, a small one kind of rips out from inside of the old one's body and flies away. And so they realize that this is basically a new one is reborn from the old one's death, and that's not going to help Lightning Lad at all. So the last one is Sun Boy, Lightning Lass, Protean, and Chameleon Boy. And they go to see if they can find out any information. And again, they have a revival technique. When somebody dies from these, they have these dragons there, and they expose them also to these. Oh no, I'm sorry. They have an actual capsule. And when what happens is these people die from being frozen by these dragons, and this capsule is radioactive, and it makes their frozen cells function again. So it worked on these couple people that had died just as they arrived. They bring the capsule back to Lightning Lad. They put not a capsule that you eat, but one that you sit in, like kind of like a sarcophagus, and they put him in it, and nothing happens. So like, well, he must have different types of cells that have been damaged, and it doesn't work. So three strikes, but once again, Superboy is saying that he's not going to give up. We're not giving up. We're not giving up. And so Saturn Girl says, "Oh, I remember that a distant world might hold a secret, Mon-El. Will you take me there?" So this is a trick, because she knows that Mon-El is for some reason lying. And as they start to they this world that she's directing them to go to, they have to pass Daxam. So as they start to get close to Daxam, she actually opens a valve in her suit that she's wearing, because Mon-El is just carrying her through space, and oxygen starts leaking out. And so she says, "Oh my God, my oxygen, it's almost gone." And Mon-El says, "Well, we're almost by Daxam, so let's stop there." So they take her to the hospital real quick. And as she's waking up, she hears Mon-El talking to the doctor, and the doctor's saying, "Oh, what about your friend Lightning Lad? Did you revive him?" And so Saturn Girl immediately sits up and confronts Mon-El and says, You were lying to us. Why didn't you say?" And so he explains that they found an apparatus, kind of like a wand that you hold into the air, that will revive him. But what happens is that a lightning bolt has to strike that wand, and it will then conduct from your body to Lightning Lad. It will bring him back to life, but it will kill whoever the lightning passes through. And that's why he didn't want to do it, but because he knew that Saturn Girl would insist on her being the one to do it. So she says, "I don't care. We're doing this." But they all volunteer. They say, "Listen, we're all going to go ahead. We're going to raise a wand up, and whoever the lightning hits is who it hits." So they say, "Okay." So Saturn Girl is getting prepared, and what she does is she gets a special rod that conducts lightning much better than the steel rods that everyone else has, and she starts painting it so it looks like it's the same material as everyone else's. And she knows that the lightning will be conducted through her rod, and everyone else will be spared. In the meantime, she sees Prodi go running into a cave, and she puts the rod down, and she goes chasing after Prodi, saying, you know, where are you going? Come back, come back. And she says, well, I hope that I can find them before they start this this ceremony. Minutes later, though, she's back, and they all raise their wands in the air as a lightning storm is going by. And sure enough, Saturn Girl, it hits hers. The lightning actually burns the paint off, and they all see that she used this special material and bravely sacrificed herself for Lightning Lad. Lightning Lad wakes up, and he's alive, and they have to break the news that Saturn Girl sacrificed herself for Lightning Lad. And he's like, I don't want to even be alive at the expense of her life. And they said, wait, look. And they turn and look, and Saturn Girl's body has dissolved into this protoplasm. And what they found is that Prodi had turned himself into imitating Saturn Girl, and he sacrificed himself to bring Lightning Lad back to life. And just as they discover this, finally Saturn Girl finds her way out from the cave that she was lost in, and they end up telling Saturn Girl that Prodi took her, deliberately led her into the cave and took her place. And so they all agree that Prodi is a true hero. So that was the death of Prodi and the rebirth of Lightning Lad. There is a backup story of a Superboy story with when he was a kid, and Lana and her father are exploring in the jungles, and Superboy reads an article that they're lost. So he goes flying in the jungle, and Lana is doing a lot of very unsafe things and trying to get them back to civilization. And so he's secretly, without her knowing, helping her. Like she gets on a vine that's clearly going to break before she could get across a big pit. And he ends up using a super breath to blow her over to the other side before the vine snaps. And she's trying to make fire, and he uses his heat vision to help that. A jaguar is about to attack, and he's hiding behind the bushes holding the jaguar's tail, and it makes it look like Lana actually is mastering the jaguar. So some Hollywood producers end up seeing all of this footage of the documentary film that Lana's dad was filming, and like, oh my God, she's amazing. Let's sign her up. She's going to be a box office sensation. We'll film right here in Smallville, and it'll be amazing. And her dad wants to make sure that everything's on the up and up, so they give her the ability to choose her own leading man and make any technical changes in the story. So all these guys start lining up to be the star, the male star of the movie, and every one of them she doesn't like for some reason or the other. Somebody is too likable or too smart or too athletic, and she's afraid that they're all going to end up pulling the focus away from her for the movie. So she turns everyone down. So finally, Superboy's like, you know what? She's really, really getting conceited. So he dresses in disguise, and he does all these different tests, and he does everything really well. So Lana says, oh, he's too good. I'm going to have to think fast. And so she said, oh, he passed all these different tests, but he can't act. So then he starts crying and say, oh, the part meant so much for me. And the producer's like, oh, that poor kid, he's brokenhearted. And then Superboy in disguise starts laughing. He's like, I'm not brokenhearted. I'm just a great actor. And so now Lana doesn't have an excuse. So they hire him, and he reveals himself as Superboy. So throughout the whole making of the movie, she tries to keep thinking of ways to hide the fact that Superboy's in the picture, because she wants all of the all the attention. Like, she makes him dig underground at one point during the whole filming. So she's the only one on film, but then he turns it back on her because he's got basically there's a fire, and she's having all the animals run through the underground tunnel for safety, as well as a medicine man that has like a headdress that has feathers all over it. And so when she starts going through, he uses his super breath to have the feathers tickle her, so she jumps out and it ruins the scene. And one thing after the other, after the other, after the other. And so finally she's very angry. She can't believe that she's been upstaged by Superboy. The picture finally comes out, and it's on the marquee saying, "Premiere, Superboy in Jungle Jeopardy," and then in small letters, "With Lana Lang." And she's really mad. She's like, "I can't believe this. How am I going to face my fans?" And so Clark turns into Superboy and says, "Listen, you've got the whole wrong attitude," brings it to a hospital that all of the proceeds were going to help fund. And it says, "Smallville Hospital, this new wing built through the generous contribution of Lana Lang." And she realizes what a conceited fool she was, and that she, what's more important is that the town has a new wing for the hospital. And so that was the end of that story.
Did you read this in physical form or in a collected edition?
Physical form, I bought a while back, maybe about six Adventure Comics on eBay. They're all, in like maybe very good condition or whatever. But I had the first appearance of Dream Girl in that collection, so I got the whole lot. And this one was a pretty cool one, being that it referenced the death of Lightning Lad and when he came back to life. So that was a cool issue.
Cool deal.
Yeah.
I got one more.
Sure.
I'm trying to finish some of the things I've started, collected edition wise. And last week I finished, or the week after before that, I finished Millennium. I reread Millennium 1 through 8, and now I had started Conan Chronicles, Epic Collection, and I'm kind of working my way through it. And this is Conan number 16 by Kurt Busiek and Kerry Nord. And the way a lot of these Dark Horse Conans read is, there's this prince, and he has a priest that, a wazir that follows him. And wazir, he's fascinated with Conan because they found the Chronicles of Conan. And he's absolutely fascinated and obsessed with Conan. So he always asks the wazir, "Please tell me the stories of Conan." And he reluctantly always tells him the stories of Conan. And this story opens up at a bar where Conan's usually drinking and frolicking and getting slammed. And he has a great time at the bar. He fights, he has women, he has sex. He wakes up the next morning and the barkeep is, "All your friends that you were hanging with left you with the check. Now you have to pay the bill or I'm going to report you." And Conan punches him in the face and he just leaves. And he's mad because why should he get the bill? Those guys robbed him and took his stuff. So he's on a journey to go find them and find out why they left him with the bill. And he runs into a kid. He slaps the hell out of this kid. I didn't realize that, but this kid asks him about the wagon and how he can track them because they stole his stuff. And he tells him where they can. And he says, "You could stay the night in our lodgings. My father owns an inn." And then he slaps the kid and he says, "What did you just ask me?" And he said, "I meant no harm. He says, "No towns for me. No cheating, dishonest inns. I'll sleep in honest heels tonight up there." Because he just got robbed. I mean, he got left with the bill. He doesn't want to stay at an inn. So he says, "Don't go up there. That's the Yuskuth Hill, and it's haunted by demons." And Conan's like, "Shit, I'm going to go up there anyway. I'm going to sleep, drink, and eat rabbit." And he goes up there, and he does find demons, sure enough. And he learns about the tale of a sorcerer that was all powerful that people buried in this like stone block because he was evil. And he actually goes to the stone block because the demons are chasing him, gets in there and sees the carcass of the old sorcerer And a sorcerer is still alive, even though he's a carcass. He could talk. And Conan cuts its head off, and the bond between the demons and the sorcerer are left. But the demons, at the same time, the demons were invulnerable. But when he severed the head of the sorcerer, the demons were no longer invulnerable, so he could cut them. And he ends up killing them, and then goes back into town. And so he disposed of the demons, and then we're off to the next story. He's headed towards the City of Thieves, and that's how issue 17 opens up. And I started reading that because you were getting Dunkin' Donuts, and I didn't finish it.
These covers are great, aren't they?
Yeah, I like myself Conan. I get in the moods to. I had piled up like, I don't know, six trades that I just got far in, but I never finished, and I was like, I should finish some of these. So I just started knocking them out.
Yeah, this was a good series. I don't have many issues of it though. I don't know why I stopped getting it.
Yeah, and while we were, I had looked earlier why 242. 240, 240, 241 had the McFarlane cover. 242 had the has a Jim Lee cover, and 243 has a Walt Portasio cover. So that's pretty interesting.
It sure is.
You have three image creators right there.
Yeah, that is interesting.
And me and Bill were talking about the image creators because we're big into the image creators. The image creators happened roughly around the time that me and Bill were in college. That's when Valiant and Image exploded. And we were talking about all the books we had, and neither one of us had Wetworks, which was the Walt Portasio book.
Yeah.
So I need to seek that out.
I'm gonna look right now. I thought that I had some of it.
I have
No,
some of.
I don't have it either.
Yeah, I have
How
all
did
the.
I have
I
it?
have I have volumes 2 and 3. You know the other ones that came from Wildstorm, but I don't
Yeah.
have the image one.
Why don't we have this?
And I was like, man, I want to get that. So that's one of the things I want to get to for my comic shop.
Yeah. Wow. I don't have any Wetworks at all. Thought for sure I had that first one, but that one came out like much after the other, like Savage Dragon and Spawn and stuff.
Yeah. And
It
that's
was
probably the reason I missed it too. I
a
was
couple.
shocked to know I didn't have one. Like
Right. Right.
I think I would have jumped in on issue one or at least a couple of the issues, and I had nothing, which is
What
really weird.
happened to him?
I don't
Did
know.
selfish?
I think he had something personal go on, like health-wise with his family or something, and he kind of like faded off on the map.
Yeah.
But it's interesting too in Rob's observations, they mention like he talks about who the image creators thought was the most talented artist out of all of them. And I found it of the majority of them, they say that Silvestri, Mark Silvestri is the most talented of all of them, and I thought that was interesting.
Wow, really?
And Wiles, he said was a close second. Like And he was talking about not just style, but the diversity and speed at which they could do it. And he called like Jim Lee. He said he's a fantastic artist, and he's a mimic though. He said Jim Lee could like mimic anybody. Like there was one time Rob said, I guess Rob challenged him to draw something, or I don't know how it came up, but Jim Lee said I could draw like Rob Liefeld. And he drew a bunch of pages, and he's like, "Holy crap, that looks like my art."
Wow.
I know Jim Lee's fast because I've seen him at the speed draw competition in San Diego, so I know he can draw fast. But you have anything else you want to mention?
No, I think I'm good. I was I ran out of time too, obviously, because I'm like, oh, I gotta get dressed. I gotta run to Dunkin' Donuts and stuff. I was planning on reading another one, but I just woke up too late today, and so I can save one for next time.
Yeah, I gotta read a bunch of Justice League Dark for tonight. But
oh, you guys gonna cover that?
Justice League Dark and Booster Gold 1 through 4.
Oh, nice.
I still have to read that too. I've read one. I like that Booster Gold series.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not in the mood for it. It's going to be tough. but it is like a 5 out of 5 premise, because that's the Booster Gold. You know, Booster Gold's a braggart. He wants the attention. And with this volume of Booster Gold in the New 52, they sort of take that away, which is a fascinating concept. It's like, well, you can't, you have to save, you have to be a hero, but you can't, nobody can know what you've done. Like, you
right.
have to save time. You have
so
to
we
save.
So he can't
time.
Have any of that notoriety
yeah,
at all.
He can't have any notoriety, which
yeah.
is, the premise of that is amazing, because you get somebody that wants that. Like, that.
Exactly.
That's the whole purpose of why he became a hero. And that's even when he was not a hero and was a football player and got into trouble, that's what he was about.
Yep.
Notoriety. And now he can't get it. So that's a fascinating premise. So yeah, I gotta read 3 more issues of that and then knock out some Justice League Dark. And I was really behind on Justice League Dark, so I don't know, I got about 8 issues left of that to catch up on. And an annual.
You got some reading to do.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to jump in now. Barb's going to give me a haircut, but
oh, I got one yesterday.
Yeah.
It's Stacy.
And I get my haircuts, I just shave it all off.
Yeah, that's what Stacy just does, the you know, the lowest setting.
It's funny on Facebook, cuz I'll look at history of I always look at my history because I find it fascinating to see what I was reading in the past. And also see, like, we were one year we were at Baltimore Comic Con at this time of year. And me and Alan were singing songs to Chris Ivey. And because he was getting, I think he was getting married. And we were singing songs to him. And
wow.
My hair looks like it does now. It's long and crazy and curly and messed up. That's
oh,
how
man.
My hair looked back then, too.
When are we going to be able to go to another con?
I don't know. Supposedly there's a cure on the horizon, but that's, I think,
that's
more
November 1st.
I think
November
that's 1st. Politically driven and more so than actually being a cure.
Which could be very dangerous.
Yeah.
It's not really ready.
Yeah.
But you know how it goes.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Have a good one. You can reach Rob at Rob Krieger on the Twitter. I'm at Mike Myers Brunch. This is hosted on geekbrunchpodcast.com. And you can also follow us on Facebook at geekbrunchpodcast.com and click the like button. And hopefully Mr. Chris Ivey will be with us next time.
Yes.
Maybe he's
what?
Anniversary?
Who?
Chris.
Oh, maybe he is celebrating his anniversary. I didn't think of that.
Maybe.
It could be.
Yeah, because that's when he was getting married.
Yeah.
How funny.
I just know me and Alan sang Abra Abra Cadabra. We want to reach out and grab you.
In the lobby.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a good one.
Yeah. Enjoy your day off tomorrow.
All right. See ya. You too.
Bye.
Bye.